We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, but today doesn't feel that way. We are divided in more ways than one, and the media and the powers that be all have their own agenda. The people of this great nation no longer care about the truth, they only care about the side they are on. At Poor 360, I am trying to change that, by bringing you the facts and history so we can all learn something and make our own decisions. Tune in every Tuesday to be a part of that journey.
What on earth is that?
It's a Journey into Comics Network production!
Tell me something, my friend. You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
I always ask that of all my prey. I just like the sound of it.
Brought to you by the power of the Journey into Comics Network. This is the Journey into Comics Podcast, the show that's 100% dedicated to everything nerd. With your hosts, the Podfather, Nate Phillips, the Podmaster, Brandon Stone, and the Journey into Comics Network stepdad, Tyler McLaughlin.
Time to make the chimichangas.
30 seconds.
Hey.
Excellent!
Finally. What did you do?
And here we go.
Can somebody tell me what kind of a world we live in where a man dressed up as a bat gets all of my press? This town needs an enema.
What's up, true believers? Welcome back to another episode of Journey into Comics. Today, it's Journey into Comics 316, and I am your host, Nate. You thought I was going to do it there, Brandon, but I'm saving it for a later time. You'll see what happens, I promise. Welcome back to the show, guys. We are here on episode 316. Today, joining me, as always, my partner in crime time crime, Brando. How's it going, brother?
Buddy, it's going pretty rough. Let's just be honest.
Sure.
This whole year has been rough.
We got more transparency here than the White House.
Yeah, true that. It's been a little bit rough for the last week in the world we live in. I did something to my back last weekend, and I don't know what I did.
It was all that fucking.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. I started feeling it on Sunday, right?
Sure.
And yeah, no, it hurt, you know, but it was just tightness. And then on Monday, like, I do believe, maybe it was Sunday night that I might have got a little bit of action, but I was kind of performing with a little bit of a handicap.
You know? Handicapped in the bedroom.
You know, couldn't throw my back into it as much as I want to, but. You know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, sometimes you gotta keep playing, man. You know,
grit your teeth and your whatever that's, bare your teeth and grin. I almost said grit your teeth and bear. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Oh, shit. Don't do that. Anyway, no, since then, it has progressively gotten worse. And if I can describe it, it's like the middle of my back, but more so like off to the side, like middle to off the side, and it does this.
For the audio listeners, yeah. He's like squeezing. Like...
It's like a spasm, or it's like Mike Tyson punching me in the ribs. And it'll just be the same movement that will cause it won't cause it the next time. That's so weird. See, when I told you, I kind of compared it to sciatica. Because that's kind of like it's nerve pain, at least what it feels like to me. But work-wise, I've been able to get through it, and it hasn't really hit me more until I would get home and get off my feet. And then it was like, ah! You know, like especially when you're going to go to the bathroom and do your business.
Oh, yeah, great pain.
Anyway, so you're sitting down, you got to do your business, and now you're like, oh, man, ow, ow, ow. And then you have to wipe your own ass. And then you find yourself gritting your teeth and being unable to, and I won't be able to completely reenact this because it still hurts. But then it's like, now you're all done. And now you're like, now what? You're looking around, and we're, you know, with how my toilet is, if you look straight up, there's like a window and like a sill. So I ran to myself, and I like kind of squat and push myself up with my feet, and then I like swing my hands up and grab the windowsill, and I have to pull myself all the rest of the way up. Meanwhile, it's going. I'm like, ah.
Ooh.
Yeah, no, it's been a week, man, and I tapped out of recording on Friday because I was working Friday. It hurt me first thing in the morning, which I hasn't been doing. In the mornings have been decent, but it hurt me already. I got to work, I was doing okay, and then it was about 10 o'clock, and I had to go take a shit.
Uh oh.
Rest of the day, buddy. All I could do,
strained your back.
I was in immense pain. Now, see, I don't want to let people think that it's my shit that's causing it. That's not it. It's like just being sitting down in that position on a toilet. Number one, American toilets are not all that comfortable. Let's just be real. Especially
public. They're not made for hanging out.
No. No. You know, like we don't have the bidets. We don't have all this cool little, like, you know, hey, you can put on music to help drown out the fart sounds or whatever they have over.
You
and, like,
can have a bidet for like $400.
They're not putting bidets in where I work. They're not going to do it.
Oh, not where you work.
No.
Clearly.
No.
They ain't doing that.
I will say, you know, we do have like a diaper sprayer for when we were doing work cloth diapering. And literally it just hooks up to the toilet pipes, and so it's cold water, so that's not very fun. But to say the least, you can do it that way. I've tried it. I'm not sure how much I'm into it. I'm just...
Bidets are nice, man. Warm water, like, take your time.
If it was warm, maybe so.
Exact target.
But with this, like thing, it's like a sprayer, so you're just like, whoo, whoo. You know, if you woo 16 times into a mirror... Late at night, Ric Flair will appear.
Yeah, and then you'll be $7,000 deeper in debt.
Oh. Ow. Anyway, no, my back's been messed up. I tapped out of recording on Friday because I could not. And then maybe tomorrow, I thought maybe Saturday night, and you kind of had, you know, migraines going on. And I'm like, all right, so here we are. We're here on Sunday. You know, a little bit later than we normally do it. We're squeezing it in before it goes live. I'm not even sure if we're going to get done before the window of time before it can go live, but we'll see.
Maybe we're gonna try to slide under the garage door again, to use that analogy to death.
Yeah,
you know, because it's a good one. It really is. It's solid.
I do feel a bit better because I've been a lot of the weekend we've been cleaning house, because literally we've kind of let the house just get to a point where there's cardboard boxes everywhere. Like boxes,
happens, bro.
Here, there, and it's just like, man, we gotta fucking clean, man. We gotta just like shit, and then, but then I'm like,
talking about Caitlin is gonna come flying in because you keep yelling like that. She's gonna be like, oh my god, are you okay? You're like, no, I'm just reenacting to explain to the people my pain and my folly.
Thankfully, the last you know, it hasn't been very comfortable, but I have not had any of those Mike Tyson jabs.
Good.
Or, no, mostly it's been just kind of an ache with the occasional like sharp, I'm still here. I'm like, oh, okay, fucker, okay.
Don't forget about me. Fire!
So hopefully, like, because I go back to work tomorrow, hopefully it won't spark back up or just flare back up, because I've got to the point where it feels more like a regular muscle ache, like I pulled a muscle, instead of just a sharp, anything can cause this pain type deal, like nerve pain, like certain motions, like, oh, that's too far, I can't do that, you know, that causes it to hurt. But then, like, earlier on, like, just me going, ah, just taking a simple breath, like,
just like, god damn it, getting old is stupid.
Dude, I was so afraid to sneeze.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh, I feel you. Yes.
Pain, I was over there doing city. The whole Looney Tunes pressing underneath your nose. And no, I was able to sneeze today and it didn't hurt. So I think hopefully we're on the right path.
I'm glad to know you're healing. It was actually quite concerning when you told me you were on a commission, because what's also quite concerning, and I'm going to just bring this to a fine tip point, is that temporarily, and we don't know the finite details, but we are losing a co-host on the show. And with the respects to what's going on, you know, Tyler is in a position that he's in, and he's got to provide and do his thing. And he's been told that there's a lot more work coming, a lot more. And pretty much anything he thought was free time is now work time.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. The only other way that we could possibly do that would be Saturday nights. And I'm not sure what my availability is are for those. So that's not to say that that won't happen. Maybe because there's going to be times that here coming up that I might tap out and say, hey, is there any way that you guys might be able to do something? I have been on a 17-episode streak.
Doing pretty good, Brando.
I know. I've been on more episodes than you.
By one, yeah, actually. Yeah, by one.
But, yeah, no, there's going to be a time here where I'm going to take a week or two off, something like that, just to get clear. And when you have multiple hosts, you can kind of do that. But, yeah, you know, dude, with Tyler, you know, definitely did not like to hear that news because I know that, you know, he likes to have his free time. And I know all too well the kind of what he's like, the kind of heavy work schedule that he's going to have. However, he's going to have it worse than I ever did. So yeah. That's what sucks about it. And so, yeah, we're not too sure about that going forward. We had this whole list of comic reviews that we were going to be doing. You know, we may still be doing that because we talked about doing the colorized Walking Dead go through. Since, you know, part of the whole crux of what started this podcast were like Walking Dead reviews. So,
I think that starts next week, by the way.
Does it?
We're here in October officially.
Yeah, we are, man. You know, this year is flying by, but yet it still feels like 100 years ago.
This is the slowest standstill flying year we've ever been in, where everything moves so slow, but also so insanely fast. Like, been in a situation where, for the most part, you're not leaving your house except for to go to do essential things since March. And it does wear on the person, man. And just to touch on the psyche of humanity, I think we're all a little psychologically damaged from coronavirus. And that's not something that's just like saying it flippantly. I really think that what has happened to our country, what has happened to our globe, the overall specs and scope and scale of everything that happened is really damaging to the person, because we're seeing how little value we actually hold.
And the thing is that it could be a whole lot worse. Coronavirus could be more deadly. It could be just a different virus altogether instead of something that gives us lung, heart, brain issues with clots or anything like that. It could be like I was watching a video, and I've seen this video once before, but I watched it again and I caught notice of a few different things. It's one of the oldest living completely paralyzed polio survivors. And he's one of the only few people left in an iron lung. And because of that, like the last iron lung were built like decades ago. And so his iron lung was, you know, breaking down. He had to get like a specialist mechanic who works on hot rods, was able to refurbish an old one and get one in working order for him. That way he could live. And this guy, he got it when he was a kid in like 1956 or whatever. And that summer they were just so afraid of sending kids. The schools got canceled. Not like summer, but like for that year, because people and, you know, playgrounds were shut down, parks were shut down because polio was spreading really bad and kids were getting it, and it was paralyzing them and killing them and doing all kinds of bad stuff. And then miraculously, just a few months later, 6 months later, they got a vaccine for it, which was great. But that kind of made me think of like, man, we could have it so much worse than what we do. And to count our lucky stars, because, you know, there's been a lot of death in the world. There's been a lot of death in this country, but it could be a lot worse. And if anything can be learned from this virus for this year, is that no one's safe.
The most protected man in America and you're not safe.
I know, dude. And so, like, I know there's a lot of talk going on in and around about the president catching coronavirus. But to me, the fact that so many people around him also got it, but also there was also people who didn't get it. And that seems to be the way coronavirus is. It's so weird where you can be in the same house with the same person who has it. You won't get it. You will
but
test
they could
negative.
Be in the most severe, terrible situation of their life or just have a very mild case.
Or they could absolutely test negative for it completely, never have got it once. But then it's like the other people who are just in the area could catch it. Mm. It's so weird how that works. But hearing all that stuff, it makes it seem legit. And as you said, he's one of the most protected guys. Everyone's supposed to get all these tests to even get near him. And I'm not trying to get political on the show, but it just sure. they being like the president and his family and a lot of people on that spectrum, they haven't been doing the full level of like care of what they need to do.
Not taking it seriously.
Well, that or either they're not taking it seriously or they're trying to show off like a front of like we're safe, you know, like there's nothing to be scared of. But quite literally, that has come back to show you that there is something to be scared of. Because you're basically, for all this time, from the time that this broke out to now, you know, you've been flirting with disaster. And the worst case,
reference.
Yeah. Worst case scenario is, especially when you're 75, you're dead. You know, odds
are. And
the
virus is unforgiving to people that age.
Yeah. Well, and odds are that he'll survive. Sure. But there's like a 22% chance of death. That's a little too high for me.
It's about 21.75% too high for me.
It's like I have no. If someone said, "Yeah, you can do this," but there's a 22% chance that you'll die, and no, thank you. So that's just it. You know, but this is something to take seriously. We're not out of the woods yet. As of this recording, neither is the president. Reports are that he's doing well, but time will tell. Time will ultimately.
Did you get that picture I sent you?
I did, yeah. And it's like, when you have an administration that is so wishy-washy with the actual truth, and what I mean by that is not just saying that from a partisan level, but like they say one thing and then you find out another. And that's happened a lot. So it basically ends up being kind of like the boy that cried wolf. So it's like you have to believe we've gone through all this stuff and we believed you then, it wasn't true. How can we believe you now, even though we want to believe you now? You know, it's like, I don't want him to die. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who feel differently, and but I don't. I don't want anybody to die. You know, I think that 200 number for the United States is just 200,000, like 200,000 numbers. That's 200,000 too high, even though it is statistically impossible that we weren't going to have any. It's just like we could have done a lot more. And
sadly to say, that number's already creeped up to 210.
Yeah, yeah, 000. Yeah, exactly. And just like less than like a just what 2 weeks or like week and a half or
like 4 days.
4 days. What? Yeah. So
that's
just
crazy.
But you know, hopefully we won't have to count him among them. And I don't want to. And really nobody should really want to. But.
Somebody made a really good point, though, and this is the thing that was I have expressed to you guys my concerns of what could possibly be happening behind the scenes. Is it worse than we're being told? Is it not as bad as we're being mm-hmm. told? Is there some truth there? Is there no truth? You know, there's all these questions because, like you said, there's no transparency with this administration. So
it's hard.
It really is. But here's the thing. How many in the entirety of the coronavirus, which has like what? 7 million and change cases worldwide. here's a number for you. There have only been quote unquote two mild cases that have required hospitalization. Only two mild cases requiring hospitalization. Do you know who they are?
Donald Trump
and Chris Christie. Mild cases. So that's where it's really concerning for me when I see something like that. I sent you the picture of Mark Meadows earlier mm-hmm. with his hands in his head, looks very defeated, very, very distraught is how I would perceive his body language. Doesn't look like somebody who's like, yep, the president's coming home on Monday. You know, like he doesn't look gung-ho Tuesday or whatever, you know. It looks pretty bad. So, you know, do I wish the president death? No, because I wish justice to actually happen and be served properly and at least have an opportunity at that and the American people to see what really went on and for him to face the reality of who he is and the decisions he's made in his presidency and the time before that. Do I think it is insanely ironic? Yes. Do I think that it is also literally the plot of an Edgar Allan Poe story? Yeah. Which is crazy. But we are in the most fucked year. And I feel like the vacuum of 2020 is, you know, a lot of times to make reference to listening to music and the Maxwell guy who's like in the chair.
Yeah.
That's us in 2020. 2020 is the sound hitting us. And we're just like trying to hold the fuck onto the chair while everything else is blowing away. You know, we're like, oh, my God, let's hope we and we're almost there, man.
Like, we're almost. I shared something to the group chat is like. It feels like, you know, if 2020 were a football game and we're in the fourth quarter, I really hope that we're playing the Seahawks.
Falcons.
Oh, that's right. The Falcons. That's the Seahawks.
Falcons. They blew that 28-3 lead against the Patriots.
Patriots. Yeah. No, and that was the Falcons. No, my brain.
Another team that was struck by the corona.
Yeah. Well, and it's just a matter of like, the year's not over. I was talking to work on Friday when the news, you know, after the news broke about the president having COVID, you know. And it's that worst case scenario of death. And it's like, dude, this year ain't over yet. What a twist that would be to this year, because we haven't had a president die in office since JFK.
64.
And the last time that the president had a life-threatening situation that had them go to the hospital for was Reagan when he got shot.
1981.
And so, like, we are witnessing history right now in general. Now, whether or not they're being completely open and honest with us, that's another deal. But, like, you know, if that were to become worst case scenario and death were to happen, it would literally be a shockwave of now what?
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you got to think he's got his base, not to, again, be political on the podcast, but we are talking about current events, folks.
Yeah.
This is Journey into Comics. We do tangent. This is some real shit. We need to be real with you, folks. Listen, he's got his base geared up that he's getting in 4 more years.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's no chance in fuck, they've already got it in their heads that if he loses, it's obviously the Democrats that fucking rigged the election and the mail-in ballots. And if he wins, then it's obviously because he's the greatest president of all time, according to them. And there's no flaws or any, you know, tomfoolery. However, throwing this curveball in is like having the Senate be in a room together like they're supposed to be and just throwing a grenade to see what happens. Because it's going to create scramble. It's going to create panic. If something tragic were to happen to the president, and I don't often call him that because of my beliefs and what he has done with our nation, but that's for a different place. Like, it would systematically and fundamentally change so many things, especially when we're, as of this recording, less than a month at this point away from election day.
And it would change a lot of things, but you know, we're not going to spend too much more time on this, but if you want to hear more, you can join us tomorrow on Port 360, episode 75, as Nate
where we covered everything but the corona, because it hadn't happened yet.
It literally happened 2 days later, or wow, depending on the timeline, which is still like kind of weird. We found out about it in the late night, early morning of like Thursday, Friday morning. So, like, we recorded that episode, I believe it was on Wednesday night. We talked about the debate. We talked about the reaction to the debate. We talked about things that were said. And we kind of broke that down, and we looked at polls at that moment, which hadn't really been reflective yet of the debate. But, no, guys, go check that out, because we put a lot of work into that. I was in severe freaking pain the entire time. And I
no sold it like a goddamn champion.
I was sitting in that chair in so much pain. And do you want to hear something funny? Because this is something that you're going to hear now. And you will have known, but those guys that haven't, all of our audience and our listeners and our viewers, by the way, that Poor 360 episode is already live on the Poor 360 Facebook page and the YouTube channel on the Journey to Comics Network YouTube channel. It's already there now. So if you don't want to wait until Tuesday to get the audio, it's already up now. You can go watch it.
Please do.
But at the very end, you know, like we ran a little bit late. You know, I was ready to go to bed. I was getting tired. You know, I had to go to work the next day. And so I was like, all right, man, I think we're going to wrap it up here. And we almost wrapped it up like twice. But then you and AP just kind of kept rolling on. And you know what? And that's fine, because that's podcasting, man. That's how that rolls. And then as soon as we got done, Blaine's like, bye. And he hopped off, right? And you thought, wow, we went late. You know, they got to go. Because when I got done with the show, I had to tear all my stuff down, put it in the bedroom to keep it away from the kids, because I didn't record back here, and I recorded in my wife's office space for late night podcasting. And then I went to bed, got to bed probably around a little bit earlier than the debate night. And I figured Blaine was like, I got to go to bed right now. It wasn't that. The freaking Monster Hunter update came out early, and he got off of there early. Like, he jammed out of there just so he could go download that and play that and stay up late playing that.
What a chump. That's the only thing I can think is, like, what a chump. Of course he would. I mean, listen, at that point, we had seen enough and talked enough about the debate and everything and turned it blue in the face. So, by all rights, I understand and respect that, but what a chump. Yeah. Brando. I think we've bullshitted enough here and kind of riffed around life and things of that nature. And I think it's time we should talk about some comic book type news. I've got some headlines and deadlines, some stuff that we can dive into if you want, my friend. Do you want to go ahead and get started?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
All right. So thinking about like some of the news that came out briefly to kind of just keep on the same pace. You said something on tomorrow yesterweek's episode of Poor 360 about the writer of the Fantastic Four movie, who said in a tweet that the debates was the worst thing he's ever seen, and he wrote Fantastic Four. God damn it. Thanks, Jeremy Slater, for that hilarious zinger and not being so serious. So let's actually get into it, because there's a couple things. Here's a smaller headline, but still a headline, and then we can kind of riff on this for time. You heard about Ryan Reynolds. Do you know what I'm talking about?
About MCU wants to make him the highest paid.
Yeah, he could become more high paid than one Robert Downey Jr. as a report through, I don't know who it says the report's from. Oh, Scooper Daniel Richtman, who says Feige and Disney are hoping to lock down a massive deal for Ryan Reynolds. Not only is it said that the deal is to result in the most money for the actor, but a reason to believe such a massive contract will include several appearances by the fan favorite.
Interesting.
Put him in every movie. I mean, really, you could, you know, we've talked about it. We've joked here that he could become the Stan Lee of the MCU, but you could also have him as the quote unquote Stan Lee of the MCU that just like kind of subtly helps in situations, but then just disappears. So he's not really that helpful. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the Guardians are stuck and there's this guy they can't fucking beat. Out of nowhere, here comes Deadpool. He's riding a fucking unicorn, chops the head off of the fucking Tesseract or whatever the monster's name is going to be. I know that Tesseract is the fucking cube. Get over it. I fucked it up. But anyways, like, and then he just dips and then he's just gone. And you're just like, Deadpool was in this movie and it was really fucking cool, but it was super Deadpool of him to just be here and then not at all, you know, just all in an instant dip. What do you think about Ryan Reynolds becoming kind of the anchor of the future of the MCU?
That's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that, to be honest. But I also know that things have changed a lot with some of their plans, especially with Chadwick Boseman passing. You know, Black Panther was going to play a little bit of a bigger role, I'm sure, and just some like big team up stuff. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Pretty interesting to note that on the other side of that, DC wanted him to come back for Green Lantern stuff, And now they might be in talks with another guy to do that.
That's a good little transition there. And I'm not going to chop the balls off of this segue this week. I'm going to ride with it because, yeah, Michael B. Jordan is in rumors to be leaving the MCU, which isn't really a surprise. Killmonger dies at the end of Black Panther, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You had a bunch of the fan base like, use the Infinity Stones to bring back Killmonger. No, because then it invalidates how special that was between him and Chadwick in that first movie.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with the whole thing with, I think Shiri is the next name that needs to take up the Black Panther mantle, I digress. So back to it. Michael B. Jordan possibly coming on to be a John Stewart fucking Green Lantern is an amazing casting. He is a absolutely hands down phenomenal actor. I don't give a fuck about, we don't need to talk about Fantastic Four. It's in the past. It doesn't matter. It's a blip in time that was a mistake. People make mistakes. Everything he has done in since and around it, Creed 2, Black Panther, he has made multiple different appearances. I think he's hosted an SNL possibly. Like, the dude is super talented and does not get enough respect and props. And I think this would be another opportunity for him to flex a new muscle because he gets to be a more good-centered character, gets to bring more of his heart and his charisma that you saw in the Creed movies into a Jon Stewart role while also being his own unique self to it. So I'm looking forward to the possibility of that happening. I do not know if it will actually happen, my friend.
I'm not sure either. It was just a rumor that I had heard. Nothing concrete to that. It's a pretty exciting time for a lot of this. Of course, the MCU stuff did get delayed and pushed back. And, the DC stuff is about ready to, like, just get rolling next year with the Batman and the Snyder Cut and Suicide Squad.
Peacemaker series,
and then of course Wonder Woman's going to be coming out maybe around Christmas. Maybe
we'll see.
I saw where some theaters are now closing completely. All the Regal is it Regal?
Yes.
Yeah. All the Regal owned theaters are now closing for the rest of the year because the James Bond film got pushed back. I know that the filmmakers have sent a letter to Hollywood or from Hollywood to the Capitol Hill asking for some relief because all these money that they're pouring into films aren't bringing money back because the theaters are closed. The box office numbers are way down. It's going to
have to be.
I'm telling you, this whole thing is going to change the way that we digest our brand new content. While I love the theater, I got to be honest and say I don't go as often as I used to go. I just don't. And when
I have a question. Yeah. I have a question. Just continue. You don't go as often. Continue.
Yeah. When I do go, oftentimes it's not like I don't get to go with my wife as often like anymore. We haven't ever since we had a kid last year or our second kid. So there's that. So it's like I'm going with friends, I'm going with other people, but that's like not often that the same people I know are going to go see the same movie that I want to see at the right same time that I want to see it all together or separate. So
hard to coalesce.
It is, and it gets to a point where it's like my give a crap to see the movie in the theater dwindles eventually, and like. Unless it's a movie I definitely want to see in the theater, I'm probably not going to see it in the theater. And
I agree.
And even when it was big and we were going more often, sometimes there were such big movies around each other, we would have to like just pick and choose one. I'm not going to go see when they had like X-Men Days of Future Past and they had Age of Ultron and Jurassic World and this one is like all these movies right next to each other. And I'm just like, I can't go do that, man. I can't live at the theater. I wish I could, but I can't. I live too far away, and I've got other stuff I want to do with my day than going and driving and sitting in a dark room. That's just me.
You're like, I'm just going to think about it for a time. And decide. So let me ask this question, Brando. let's just say, for the sake of saying, that AMC says, check it out, you guys. We've come up with a solution because of coronavirus. We're going to offer AMC Now. It's $15 a month. With AMC Now at $15 a month, you get access to any movie that is or should be in theaters at this current moment. They would, in this current moment, have so many people subscribe and see the same kind of flux we did for your HBO Maxes and for your Disney Pluses. That if literally AMC said, we're doing this, we are in conjunction with Disney, we're in conjunction with all the major motion picture studios, you know, and we're going to be giving them an ample cut of this to help make it happen. You know, Hollywood already has a metric fuck ton of money. It is literally heaps and heaps and heaps of money. So for filmmakers to write a letter to the Capitol asking for support, like, I get it. Everybody's hurting. But y'all don't need it like the rest of America needs it. And that's what needs to be the focus. So look at the alternatives. How do you get the money back? You give your product to the people that want it. And how do you give that to them? You offer it streamlined through the thing that we, you know, call the internet. Now, what's the issue? Oh, well, Mulan, you can fucking, right now you get that on Disney Plus, or actually you can get it on, I think, Amazon Prime now as well. Video on demand. Other places have it. You know, so why should we get the AMC thing? Well, because it would give you exclusivity. It would allow you to view it. You know, if AMC really wanted to be next level, make it to where you can do watch parties. Like, hey, we're going to get the network together and we're all going to mobily stream and watch Black Panther. Where we can, you know, if somebody has something to say when crazy shit's breaking out, we can hear them or see each other or whatever, you know, watch alongs and all that. And give the fans an opportunity, because I think that's the thing that's really falling short here. No company is finding a satisfactory way to get movies to the consumer safely, because all we know is go sit in theater, consume popcorns, shit in toilet at movie theater, leave. Like, you know, like.
Well, okay, so to add to what you said, one way, like, other than AMC having their own app, what could end up happening is that other video services could line up to pay these film companies, distributors, the rights in general to put it up on Netflix or Hulu or Disney or HBO or whatever, and that could be a thing. You know, where Netflix can be like, hey, guys, you remember that new Nolan movie that came out, or the new Bond movie that was coming out that just got delayed? We just dropped some money and helped them out, and we're getting that exclusive to Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, Netflix has the fundage, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've, like, spent a lot of money on original content. And right now, granted, having a lot of original content right now especially is good, because there's a lot of opportunities for people to consume, and I get that. Yep. But maybe right now is also a time to take a step back from the original content. You've been canceling a lot of shows Netflix has and changing things. Maybe now is the time you invest in a distribution deal where you say, look, AMC, we're going to partner with AMC and all of Hollywood. And under there's going to be a special tab on your Netflix that for, you know, an extra 15 a month or whatever, you can flip that on and get all your movies right there in the moment. Boom. People are about it. I feel like if you make it at a reasonable price point for people to come into, you will get people to easily agree that this is a new way to enjoy cinema. And sure, it's also a changer. It's a game changer. It's a paradigm shift. The movie's almost immediately going to be piratable, and there's a lot of things that come with that. And you're going to have streamers on YouTube and people like us who are immediately giving their rapid review reactions of the movies and being able to use scenes and all this shit from the film. And it's going to be a changer. However, it's the time we live in. And in the next 2 months, like, I'm preparing for a very, very outside of my bubble, very tumultuous 2 months that we are coming into. And I talk that mainly because of the virus that's going on and how things are ramping up, especially around flu season. Again, looking at the charts and the graphs to how the Spanish flu kind of operated, and there's a lot of similarities there. So this is the opportunity for you guys to really crack it open and say, hey, we're going to give you an option, an opportunity to consume our stuff. It'll end delaying stuff that's already ready to go. Cause like right now, Marvel, how fucked up do you have to feel if you're Marvel sitting on a movie that's 190,000% complete has been probably so fine-tuned, they probably fucked it up with how fine-tuned they tuned it. And you can't do anything with it. You can't make money on it. You can't. Right now, you know what's happening? Go to any of your local places, your Walmarts, your Myers, whatever. You're going to see tons of Black Widow pop vinyls and action figures because that stuff is on a schedule. It doesn't stop coming out because the movie didn't come out. They just keep that ball rolling. So all that stuff was in production and not a lot of people are buying that stuff because there's no active interest in the movie right now because we haven't seen new footage and all these other reasons. So to put a pin on it, I just think there has to be a better way for Hollywood to get us what we want and we can give them what they want, which is the dinero.
Yeah. You know, it's, as I said, this whole thing could really change how we digest entertainment. So,
yeah, man, I couldn't agree more. So, Brando, there's a lot of like Marvel stuff. Again, this is very, we're here in this heavy Marvel news cycle. There was a casting that's kind of quick news. Did you hear about the casting?
Which one?
We officially have our Kamala Khan to the MCU. Iman Vellani. Yeah, Vellani. I wanted to make sure not to fuck that up. Iman Vellani is officially going to be playing Kamala Khan. She is a newcomer to Hollywood, but, you know, people are giving her the nod of approval that she is going to make an amazing Miss Marvel. And she looks like she's going to be a great Kamala Khan. So I'm excited to see it. I don't know if you have any thoughts on Kamala. Don't know if you're familiar that much with the character at this time.
Nope.
She's pretty cool, man. She's got the ability to polymorph her body so she can embiggen, and she's like Ant-Man without the tech, essentially. Yeah. And she can do it to any part of her body. She can make her hand fucking big as a fucking, you know, tower if she wants or whatever, you know, but she is a kid, so she has limitations. I think that's very unique. And obviously she is a person of color and Muslim, so she's able to really be a stalwart for people who need representation. And also Kamala is just a great character that has, since being introduced in 2004, really, really took off and impressed people. Major part of the Avengers game that just came out. And speaking of that, Brando, what are your thoughts on what's going on with the whole PS5 Spider-Man Parker face change deal?
It doesn't make me mad. I kind of get it. But I also like am really wondering if the reasoning behind it is true to what they're saying, or if they just really wanted to make the change to a different actor, because they did change the face model actor to somebody else.
Well, keeping the voice the same though, it's still the same person voicing Peter.
Yeah, and then because they were saying that like the enhancement that they were able to do to the face capturing model worked better on this one than the other one. And so it was sort of an art reasoning as to why they changed it. A lot of people don't like it because it makes him look too close to Tom Holland, which that's exactly what I thought when I first saw it. But now when I see it, I don't see Tom Holland, and it will be a change. You know, I've played through the game twice. It's a fantastic, one of the best Spider-Man stories I've ever played. It will be, it will take some time to get used to it, but what isn't okay is threatening the head of Insomniac because they made a change. That is not okay. On any, if you want to be angry about it, you can be angry about it. That's just the way it is. You can be angry about it, not buy the game or whatever, but here's the thing. I'm more angry about how they're making us buy the game. We don't get this game because we had Spider-Man 4. In order to get this game, you have to buy the Miles Morales Legendary Edition.
Wait, only on the Legendary Edition? So it means that more likely than not, you're not going to even be able to get it because the Legendary Edition is probably like, what, $200?
No, it's $70.
Oh,
so Miles Morales is 50 because it's not a full-fledged game.
Yeah.
The Miles Morales Spider-Man on PS5 is like Uncharted Lost Legacy.
Or an extended experience.
It's an expansion. And that in itself has some interesting critics, about that, say, selling a like a 10-hour thing for a price, whereas it should just be DLC. They didn't just do a DLC. They did a lot of changes utilizing the horsepower of the PS5, and then that's what they went back and did that to the Spider-Man remastered. But what they said is that if you go out and you buy Spider-Man Miles Morales Legendary Edition for $70, for $20 extra, you get the Spider-Man remastered PS5. There, as of right now, there are no physical copies of Spider-Man Remastered coming out. Don't expect it. If you go out, because Spider-Man Miles Morales is coming to the PS4. If you go out and you buy your PS4 copy of Spider-Man Miles Morales and you put it into your PS5, it will automatically upgrade you to the PS5 version for free. Now, on the Xbox, they have something called Smart Transfer or Smart Delivery, where no matter, like, if it has Smart Delivery on it, if you buy the game, it'll work on, it's the same game no matter what Xbox console you have. You'll have the Series X, the best version you can get, or you can have the Xbox One, the worst version you can get.
I'm bringing out the original brick Xbox to play my brand new games. Works on any Xbox, you say?
Yeah, right. But for PlayStation, it's a little bit more convoluted. It's on a per title basis. But when you put your Miles Morales PS4 version in, it'll ask you if you want to upgrade to the Legendary Edition for an extra fee, probably for $20, and you'll get the Spider-Man Remastered. So I'm more upset about how they're going about economically getting you the new version of the game. To me, that's more angry inducing to me than making a style change to like the character look. I'm just not mad about it. I'm kind of indifferent. I don't really care.
It's not a Hollywood recast, bro. It's not the same thing. This character will always look however old they want him to look. The only thing is they're going to have a younger person, the same person playing the voice, and they want it allegedly to be so it can be rendered better with the current engines.
I do say that the newer model looks younger, and I think he should look a little older.
And who knows, maybe by the time it officially releases, there'll be some slight modifications based on the backlash.
Maybe.
I don't know. I just hate it. I hate often we've talked about the toxic nerddom and the toxic nerd culture. It's really maddening. And the VP of Marvel Games said something, and I loved it. He said, you know who would send threatening notes to my spider bro? Norman Osborn, Mr. Negative, Dr. Octopus. Spider-Man PS4 fans, in your life story, are you the villain or are you Peter Parker, the hero you love so much? Be Peter. Be the hero. Be greater. Oof.
Yeah, a lot of people came out in support of the Insomniac team, for the attack. So it's just like, guys, as I said, if you want to be mad about it and boycott it, do that. If you're that mad about it, don't get it. But don't be threatening people.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Doesn't look good on you. I tell you, Brando, there was the big kahuna of news this week. The one that shocked me, kind of broke the internet, kind of confirmed some things, puts a lot of questions in our minds, but also a necessary thing to know considering allegedly before the end of this year, filming on this movie is going to start happening. So at some point, we're going to get confirmation of who is going to be starring alongside of him. I'll stop alluding to it. Spider-Man 3 had a major announcement this week as Jamie Foxx has been announced as a casted Electro. Again, he's going to be cast as Electro. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of interesting stuff kind of swirls with this, Brando. I don't know how far down the rabbit hole you went, but there are some comments from Kevin Feige that were on a private email. That private email was leaked. The private email was his critiques of Amazing Spider-Man 2. And one of the main things he talked about is how much he loved Jamie Foxx as Electro. He said that, you know, honestly, I don't think you need the scene where he's going crazy in his apartment. It doesn't work. It doesn't connect people to the character. And it could be kind of, you know, like an edit choice, but obviously they kept it. Here's where things get interesting because, yeah, that's some news. Then you also had Tom Holland playing super coy about, will we get a Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire, Tom Holland starred into the Spider-Verse type movie?
Yeah.
Will that happen? And him kind of like coyly saying, oh, well, the fans would love that, but I don't, you know, I don't know. It's not up to me. Coupled with then now the this news. So what do we have here? We have Tom Holland, who is his own Spider-Man in this universe. You now have a J. Jonah Jameson from a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man universe. And then to have the trifecta, officially, you have Electro from the Amazing Spider-Man Andrew Garfield universe, which creates kind of like the palette of the trifecta of the three different worlds you can dip into. But one thing I found that was so interesting, and I want to talk to you about it a little bit, Electro will not look like what Sony did to him. Jamie Foxx has already come out and said, I'm not blue. I'm not blue. You know, I'm not
is
blue.
Is that the episode title?
What? I'm not blue? Or abadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabadabad can remember that here in a little bit when we wrap up. Listen, as far as the portrayal, quickly, the portrayal of Electro, in my opinion, from Amazing Spider-Man 2, awesome. I loved what they did with Electro, how they utilized his powers. I didn't really get down with the look. I thought it was camp as fuck, super goofy, and took away from what could be a very unique experience as Jamie Foxx, actually Jamie Foxx being Electro.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to get your thoughts, man. What did you think when all this news broke out?
I'm for it. It makes me wonder if it is going to lead into a broken Spideyverse type deal, Madam Web type deal. Because like if it's the same actor, is it just going to be a different version? But the same actor, you know, are we going into a situation where how I feel where like the guy that Michael Goh who played Alfred for Batman Returns forever and Batman and Robin. But you had these different feeling movies and it almost feels like they don't belong in the same universe, but they are, but it's the same actor playing Alfred.
He's the thread that ties them.
Yeah. Him and like, Commissioner Gordon are like the same actors throughout the entire, like entirety of like of the films.
Alfred's the center of the multiverse.
Oh shit. But, so it makes me wonder if it doesn't tie in, because there's been rumors that now that that's happening, that then you said the Spider-Verse about them bringing in, you know, Garfield and Maguire to do a live action Spideyverse. There's that thing we talked about last week about building up to a Sinister Six with the fan castings and stuff like that. And then how,
which now changes amazingly Electro. Considering with Electro.
Ah, I see what you did. But yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see what happens because we don't really know where they're going, truly. And also, the other thread, like, is that the same J. Jonah Jameson? Or is it a different alter universe J. Jonah? Because it's the same actor, you know, with J.K. Simmons. But then
looks
they kind of
the same, sounds the same, though.
Looks the same, sounds the same, but they kind of mixed him a little bit with, like a Fox News or a Alex Jones type host. And that almost kind of took not a direct line, but a lot of people thought it was a nod to the Insomniac version of the Spider-Man game where he had his own like conspiracy podcast.
Yep.
You know, so interesting. I want to know where it's going. I am all for Jamie Foxx. He's a great actor. Of course, he is also supposed to be playing Spawn when that gets done, when they're doing that.
Really? I didn't actually hear that.
That has been in the works for a couple years where Todd McFarlane wants to do a new Spawn and he got Jamie Foxx in. Jamie Foxx is on board and now, you know, he wants it to be rated R and he wants it to be like the early issues of Spawn where he's kind of more in the shadows and you don't get to see him. And like there's a story and he's involved with it and it does kind of revolve around him, but it's almost like the reverse of a monster movie. You know, where where like you spend a lot more time with like the cops or like the two police officers and you spend more time in the world and you get to know them. And it's like, you know, the figure in the shadows. And then, you know, it's the build up to Jaws. It's finally you get to see the shark, you know. It's like that's what he pitched. It's like more of a gritty horror movie vibe, but it wouldn't be the same film as what it did in the 90s or anything like that. But I don't know where they are with that, because it seems like that was kind of spent taking a lot of times. These films, is somebody will let something slip and say they want to do it or this and that, but it still takes multiple years to get it rolling, whether or not it's writers or scripts, the production, this and that. Just look at how long it took to get the ball rolling on Uncharted after they got Tom Holland on board. I mean, it still took a long time to get it rolling after he got on board. Not to mention they've been trying to make the movie for nearly 10 years before they got Tom Holland, when Tom Holland was still like in sixth grade.
When Mark Wahlberg was the big get for it.
when Mark Wahlberg was like, yeah, I'd do that. And he was like, oh. And, you know, back then he was going to be Nathan Drake, and now he's too old. So now he's going to be playing a young Sully.
You know, we bring up Nathan Drake, and I need to quickly diverge the conversation for a second, because I'm pretty sure Nolan North does Drake.
Mm-hmm.
And he also does Tony Stark in the Avengers game.
Yep.
And let me just tell you, unfortunately, that Tony Stark and Nathan Drake sound the exact fucking same. And I sometimes start laughing at some of the stuff that Tony says, and I'm like, shut up, Drake. You know, God damn it, Drake, you know, it's funny. But I did see that there was a picture, Boss Logic, because he's on top of it. He already has made Jamie Foxx Electro 2.0 what he might look as, with more of a traditional costume.
Oh, cool.
And you should definitely see it. If you want, I can link it to you. We'll just take but one second here. Huh? Let's see if you can find it before I do send it to you. Where's Brando?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, damn it. I just literally had hit send.
Is it the one where the blue is more of a just like it's not super encompassing, and it's more of a just a light around the suit, like around his face?
It's like lightning around his face. Yeah. And the suit's gold and green.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm excited to see the possibilities. You know, now we look at the Fantastic Four. Fuck me sideways. The Sinister Six, and we've got Michael Keaton, Jake Gyllenhaal, Jamie Foxx. You know, what is it? Mike Mondo. There was Mondo. I can't remember his first name, the guy who was Mac Gargan, but those are all confirmed. And then technically Jared Leto, if you include Morbius, which means we have a very unique Sinister Six that could be shaping up, that really only needs like one more person. So, that is a stacked cast, a movie to have Gyllenhaal and Keaton and Jamie Foxx, just those three names. Now, let's say we get super crazy and get Alfred Molina from the Maguireverse. I am on board.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
100%. Like hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. I'll be there day one. Oh,
you know it.
Let's see, Brando. I don't know if I have a whole lot left to throw at you this week as far as headlines and deadlines. We talked about the Jamie Foxx stuff. There was a picture that dropped of U.S. Agent from the Falcon Winter Soldier set. Looks very much like U.S. Agent. Not much to really report there. I will say there was the new ad that recently dropped that suggests that here in the near future, Spider-Man Far From Home and Homecoming will be coming to Disney Plus. Now, don't quote me there now, but it does say that there was an ad recently released that takes some footage from Homecoming and Far From Home, meaning that it could be expected this stuff appears on the service sooner rather than later, especially with the impending Black Widow at some point.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, to be fair, Sony doesn't have her home for it. You know, I do believe they were on, one of them was on Stars recently, but they fit into the Marvel verse. So if you can make a deal with Disney to put them on there, why wouldn't you put them on there? Even if it's not forever, even if those are some movies that kind of cycle off and on, because if Netflix is like, we'll pay you a buttload of money to put them on Netflix. Okay, fine. Go to Netflix for a while. Here, you know,
here's a 6-month deal. Come back to Disney Plus. Yeah, yeah, I like it. That would then mean there's only one movie that would not be on Disney Plus's service.
Yeah. Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk. The Incredulous Bulk strikes again.
The Incredulous Bulk.
Like, that's kind of my opinion of that movie. But yeah, man, it is kind of a slower time right now. We keep saying that in the coronavirus time. While there is news, there are things to discuss. It is very slow moving. You know, right now the Hollywood industry is constipated and there's no X-lax to get the shit moving. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, I mean, I'm just being real about it. So, yeah, but I don't really have anything else today, man. Do you have anything else to throw down?
Not really, man.
Yeah, that was kind of my fear, but that's okay. We can have a shorter episode sometimes. We deserve a break. We're working ourselves for 316 episodes. Sort of, not really, kind of. There's some breaks in there for both of us, but I digress. Okay, well, Brando, I think before we wrap it up, I'll let people know where they can hear the podcast. As always, search Journey into Comics Network on all your different podcasting platforms, whether it's Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, CastBox, Podbean, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and many others, Stitcher Radio as well. Just search Journey into Comics Network. Also, go to journeyintocomics.com, get our One Feed of Amazing shows, as well as be able to see our archive and go through and listen to shows that you want to listen to. Some people say, man, your feed's cool and all, but I don't like certain shows. Go to the main page where you don't have to listen to certain shows. You can find the show you want to listen to and tune in there week to week. I think that is all, Brando. Is there anything else you want to throw down before we roll officially?
That's it, man. That's all I got. I'm completely tapped.
I feel you, bro. Well, for Journey into Comics 316, I already forgot what you said the title should be. Oh, what? Yeah, I'm Blue Adabadee-Abadabadee-Abadow.
You said I'm not Blue Dabadee-Dabadow.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But for Journey into Comics 316, I believe that this episode just whipped your ass. I've been Nate.
I've been Brando.
And as always, pop your caps back and fill your brains with a can of whoop ass.
What?
What?
Go throw down a couple Steve Weisers.
What?
Stomp a mud hole in your ass and walk it dry.
What?
Said I want a cheeseburger.
The transition out of walk it dry. I want a cheese. I have no idea what compelled you to do that, but it was great. Oh, holy shit. And won't get dry. I want a cheese. Oh, that is a great success.
Woo. All right.
Oh, man. I tell you.
All right. We'll see you later, guys. Have a good one.